We've got another busy show for you coming up. We'll be speaking to Michael McMullen ahead of this weekend's All-Ireland football final, where the Dubs and the Kingdom go at it once again for the Sam Maguire Cup. Also on the show, Patsy McGonigal is our athletics correspondent, and Patsy will be joining us to look ahead to the National Track and Field Senior Championships taking place over 2 days in Santry in Dublin this weekend. Plus, on the programme as well, Declan Boyle, former Finn Harps captain, will be talking League of Ireland football. But before all that, we're going to European football, because Derry City are back in action tonight in the Europa Conference League qualification. The second round of the competition against Finnish opposition at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. That game's starting at 7:45, but before we go there, there's already a match which started today. Shamrock Rovers are on the road taking on Ferencvaros, and they're trailing as they start the second half by 2-0. Seager on 16 minutes and Ramirez on 32 scoring the goals for Ferencvaros in that game. And the home side have got a third. Treor on 47 minutes getting the third goal there. So Shamrock Rovers already with, 50 minutes or so played, with a mountain to climb in Europe, trailing by 3-0. At the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium tonight, they're hoping that it won't be a night like that anyway. Derry looking to make home advantage count. So let's cross now to Derry, make the short trip to the Brandywell. There's Martin Holmes with the team news for Highland Radio Sport.
Evening, Oisin. I was talking to very long time Derry City supporter this afternoon in town, who told me that apparently bookmakers of Derry City is even money favourites tonight. So that's a rare occasion where Derry would be banker favourites in a European tie. But they're on a bit of a good run of form. They knocked Athlone out of the cup at the weekend, and last week they beat Tórshavn here by 1-0. And you always remember the old 1-0 to the Arsenal, and a goal is all it takes. They won a game. So Derry Higgins will be happy if he can. If he can do that tonight, he'll not want the other team to get a goal, but he'll want to get a lead and cement his position for the second round, second leg when it comes, because he'll fancy himself to get through. If he can do this here tonight and go into the next match ahead and try and keep a clean sheet than that, then that'll put them through to the next round. So a lot to play for here tonight. Derry made a couple of changes from their last game against Tórshavn last week. McMullen and Diao started against Tórshavn, and tonight the two replacements are Brandon Kavanagh and Patrick McElhinney. McElhinney's been introduced periodically to games in recent weeks, so he makes a welcome start tonight, and he'll be captain, of course. So a lot to play here for Derry, and a lot of expectation from the fans as well. When clubs like Derry get into Europe, you kind of hope you're going to do something in the first round, but to get bitten through now to another round with it in their mind, maybe being able to go further again from that, so big expectation on the fans, and Rory Higgins has created that himself in a couple of years he's been in charge. So hopefully a good night ahead for him and the players and the fans.
And Martin, listen, the side of course already beat Tórshavn with the second leg at home, looking for another big night tonight. You mentioned about expectation from the fans. What about the expectation, do you think, from the group of players? Is there any pressure on them now to get a result tonight?
Well, you get to know them over time. Some of them I've known for quite a few years, and the pressure they put on themselves as professional players, some would say even at this level, is astounding. And they'll be expecting they won this game, and they'll be expecting they go through after the two legs. You know, such is the level of professionalism that Rory Higgins has instilled in them, and a lot of that'll come from the Stephen Kenny era. We all remember what he was like. His attention to detail and his preparation was meticulous, and that just shines through now in the current manager's regime. So the players that I've been speaking to in recent days and weeks go into every game expecting a victory, no matter who they're playing, and that'll not be any different tonight for the Derry players.
All right then, Martin, thanks for joining us. The best of luck tonight. Derry City hosting Coops, the Finnish side in the Europa Conference League qualification. That match starts at 7:45 at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. Dundalk also in action tonight. They are on the road against Akurey. 10 minutes played, no score as yet in that game. Linfield and Belfast are hosting Pognan Sizhan at Windsor Park at 7:45. And then at 8 o'clock, Crusaders also at home as they play Rosenborg on a busy night for League of Ireland and Irish League clubs. Let's now move to the first division of the League of Ireland. Fin Harps return to Mount Hawk Park in Tralee tomorrow night, Friday, to play Kerry FC. John Drummey will have updates from that game here in Highland from the 7:45 kickoff in association with B&S Credit Union, Main Street and Ballybuffet. It's been a good past fortnight for Harps, who won two on the bounce against Cove in the league and then killed Barrick in the cup last Friday. On this week's League of Ireland chat, I've been joined by Fin Harps skipper Declan Boyle, who says another win is a must in Kerry this weekend for Harps. Well, Declan, we've got Martin Holmes out and about this evening because he is attending the Derry City European qualification fixture. Maybe before we look at Harps, Declan, you played a number of games at European level for a couple of the clubs, Sligo Rovers and Derry City. Tell us about your experiences maybe playing for a League of Ireland club on the European stage.
Yeah, this, I suppose when I was at Sligo, we got to the second stage of the Cup Winners' Cup. Would have been at that time, our first match would have been against the Maltese team, and we beat them, I think, 3-2 overall, and we had a trip to Malta out of it. So, and then we played Club Bruges, who were the champions, I think the Cup Winners' champions, obviously, of Belgium at that time, and then they had five or six international players playing for them. So we went over there, and I think we lost 5-2 in aggregate, was the score over there. So, and Derry, obviously, we played, and I forget the score on that match, I think we lost maybe 2-0 in aggregate. But, you know, I suppose you have the benefits of playing at home, which, you know, and then going away from home is a difficult part. You're going away from home and different atmosphere. And I suppose you didn't get an opportunity to play too many games. It was once a year, potentially, or twice a year. And with Sligo Rovers, where League of Ireland clubs now are doing a lot better and they're getting more success, obviously, as well. And they're getting into more rounds in the last 5 or 6 years. So that obviously bridges that gap and gives them the confidence to perform very, very well also. At that point of time, we were only part-time. You know, our clubs nowadays, Derry City and Sligo Rovers, are all full-time players. So, you know, we've even seen last year, obviously, Sligo Rovers beating Motherwell as well. You know, so big games, that they're not shocks no more. So, I mean, that's Derry City team now currently. Even though it will be very difficult if they're playing against the Finland champions or the Europa League team. And their season's halfway through, 16 matches played. So, they're going to be up and at it. You know, where previously we were playing teams that were on the same level as ourselves going into pre-season, and that gave no team really an advantage, whereas normally in League of Ireland clubs have an advantage over the European counterparts because of the fact that they're halfway through the season versus the teams that are only starting their pre-season.
Yeah, but as a player, Declan, from your own point of view, it must have been very exciting to be involved in European competition and heading into the unknown.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll pick out the Club Bruges. Like, you know, we would play against five international players. Like, so, you know, for a part-time club to go and play against a team of international players, you know, you wouldn't get the opportunity to do that very often. So, you know, it's, I suppose, standout games. You know, you go into a Club Bruges stadium as well, you know, so you get an opportunity to play against really good players, you know, so, and play in a nice stadium as well. So, you know, if you can't get motivated to go out there and perform to your best level, you know, and suppose, you know, that's where you want to be. You want to play against the best at every opportunity and putting yourself against the best players as well and see how you get on, you know. But yeah, listen, they're wonderful occasions, they're wonderful nights, and there'll be an unbelievable atmosphere tonight in the Brandywell, obviously, as well, you know, so they'll be looking for a big positive result, but it is a great occasion for the club, for the supporters, but it's very, very enjoyable for the players as well.
Yeah, let's move to more domestic matters. Fin Harps taking on Kerry. Tomorrow evening, Harps making the long trip south down to Tralee. Harps haven't beaten Kerry this season. Both games ending in draws, 0-0 in Fin Park and previously 1-1 down in Kerry. But it's a different Harps team now, Declan, compared to those two previous encounters.
Yeah, completely different Harps team. I suppose the last match in Fin Park, I was at it, obviously, and I remember coming away, and I was just thinking to myself that probably that Kerry team was probably the worst team I've seen in Fin Park in about 20 years, if I'm being truthful. And the performance wasn't great on the night by Fin Harps, and it ends up being a draw. Obviously, there's completely different players, you know. Van Harps have totally transformed their squad. They've brought in real experience. They've brought in physical strength. They've brought in good quality players, and they're a different outfit now than they were, obviously, in that last home match against Kerry. Kerry have also added. They've added four players as well, so they've added a bit of quality as well. So, you know, both teams will be a lot different than playing in Finn Park. But with the squad of players that we have now at our disposal, our bench is really strong as well. We can bring players off the bench that will make a difference in the game. I see Van Harps coming down there and getting 3 points.
Now, my next question was going to be, would you be happy with another draw down there, Declan, or is it a case now, right, they need to step up and be taking more ones here?
Yeah, no, at the start of this stage of the season, they need to start moving up. You know, obviously, we are ahead of Kerry, but we need to be catching Longford. With Longford 25 points, but now we need to be pushing and leapfrogging Treaty and putting pressure on Wexford and Bray and getting into that playoffs. Really, that's the goal for me, would be now to push on with the squad of players they have and the quality they have at it. But they need to be pushing hard in for that last playoff spot, and they're well capable of going and doing that, you know. So, but yeah, I'll answer your question. They need to get, and every other team are beating Kerry so far this season, so they need to be taking maximum points from the next two matches they have against Kerry before the league is completed.
Yeah, listen, there's still a lot of football to play, Declan. But can Harps make the top five? Can they go to the playoffs? Or is that too far a reach at this stage for them?
I don't think so. You know, if you look at the table, obviously Galway are ahead of everybody. You've Waterford in 46, Cove in 36, Athlone 32, and then you've Bray in 30. You know, so I mean, we're only 5 points off Bray. You know, so that's not a big. You know, if you won three or four games in the bounce, that can really throw you up the table. You know, and that's what they need to do. They need to go on a really good run now, where they're winning games. Our worst case scenario, they're picking up 4 points out of two games, you know. So, they need to go on a run now game to do that. Can they achieve that? I think they have, with the quality they've put in. There's more goals, there's more threats, and that's probably the area that they've addressed. We obviously haven't seen the best of BJ Bandy yet as well. He's getting back to his fitness, so hopefully he'll start scoring some goals on the top end of the pitch. You know, Patrick Ferry's added one or two as well. Sean Donald's been really good up top as well. So there's real competition for places in the top end of the pitch, and that's the area that they need to make sure that they start hitting the ground running and scoring more goals, and especially winning games at home.
Yeah. Now, they scored four goals against Cove, so that had 2 weeks ago, but then it sort of dried up last week in that cup game against Kilbarrack, where they only managed one, and they couldn't string maybe together where they could build in that 1-0 advantage and the cup tie. But are you expecting that was obviously a sort of dogged performance by Kilbarrack, especially an on-league side, and you're playing on an artificial pitch as well. Are you expecting something different back to the way it was against Cove the previous week in Kerry on Friday night, Declan?
I think it'll be tight enough. I think that at the Cove match, I think Cove were similar to ourselves in regard to like to push forward, and every opportunity they were looking to create chances as well, and they were offensively very, very good too, Cove, and they're good players. You know, Kerry probably, you know, depending on what their manager, Billy Denningham, wants out of their squad. Does he want them? Will he sit in? Will he have a low block, a medium block, or will he push on looking for results? So, you know, it just depends on how they set up, so it can be difficult. You know, they might give us the possession of the ball and looking for us to actually force it down and try to create chances, and then try to hit us in a counter-attack. So just depending on who you're playing against. Cole was probably a good team to play against because they were willing to mix it and go toe-to-toe with Harps on the night, and it was an excellent game, really good game with good goals in it, you know. But it could be a different kettle of fish with Kerry away from home. They might be a bit stickier and they might be more defensive. Similar to probably the cup match last weekend as well. It was 1-0, but it's still a victory, still 1-0. It gets them in the next round of the cup, and it keeps that confidence going. Yeah, but I think the Kerry match will be tricky. I think the key probably will be to win in the match, scoring first, and that's if Kerry are willing to be defensive and sit down, if you score first, that has to change their philosophy. They're going to change their system wee bit, and they've got to push more men forward, and then that can create gaps, and then you maybe exploit those gaps that they're left behind.
Just finally then, Declan, listen, if we get 3 points this weekend, it would be very much positive as you head to the next day, where you're going to welcome the favourites for the title and the favourites to go up to the Premier Division. Galway United will be the visitors next. So it would be nice to get a victory to bring a bit of confidence into a game against stiffer opposition.
Yeah, I think that would be key. You know, get 3 points, then you've obviously got Galway at home. Nobody expects you to go and win it. You can have a free shot at the game and you can give it everything you possibly have. And with this experience, squad of players that they now have at their disposal, they're well capable of putting it up to Galway as well on the night, absolutely. But, you know, it's important to beat Kerry and at the weekend, get 3 points and then move on to, you know, Galway, obviously. And then, you know, you've Athlone away, definitely winnable. 3-3 at home, definitely winnable again. So, you know, there are big, three big matches coming up. And every game is going to be massive going forward. It's 3 points. But let's pick one game at a time, beat Kerry at the weekend, and then the Galway match will look after itself. But it will be an excellent match, and it'll be interesting to see compared from the first match of the season when we played Galway. Galway were very strong tonight. I know we put in a good performance. I thought Galway looked to have more experience, more quality as well. So it'll be interesting to see in 2 weeks' time, you know, where are we compared to Galway within, you know, those line of games between the first match and now the third round of matches, you know. But yeah, listen, key is getting 3 points against Galway at the weekend, Kerry at the weekend.
All right, Declan, as always, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the football over the weekend.
Thank you very much.
All right. That's Declan Boyle, who spoke to us a short time ago, just before the programme aired. Looking forward to that game tomorrow night as Harps, of course, head to the Kingdom to play Kerry. Once again, kick-off time, 7:45. We'll have updates here in Highland tomorrow evening with John Drummy. As for the other games in the First Division tomorrow, Athlone Town play Waterford. Leaders Galway United take on Bray Wanderers, and Wexford FC are taking on Treaty United. Longford host Cove on Saturday. And with a lot of the Irish sides involved in European action, there's a limited programme tomorrow night in the Premier Division. Bohemians to go on UCD, Cork City are playing Shelburne, and Drogheda United are taking on Sligo Rovers. Speaking of those Irish sides, we'll just take a quick look to see how they're faring out in the second half. Shamrock Rovers, of course, on the road against Ferenc Varagos, and they continue to trail just past the hour mark by 3-0. And Dundalk are on the road as well, taking on Aucure. And that one is currently scoreless with 22 minutes on the clock. The last quarter final of the Joseph Sheridan Memorial Cup in Rathmullen is taking place this evening. Rathmullen Celtic are meeting Remelton Mariners. It's due to get underway shortly at 7:30. Over the hill, Rathmullen, Milford United and Kerrykeel 71 are already through to the semi-finals, which will be held next Monday and Tuesday. So, moving on and changing sport, let's go to athletics. And Highlands Athletics correspondent Patsy McGonigal should be on the line. Patsy, a very good evening.
Good evening, Oisin.
Well, Patsy, a huge weekend of athletics coming up, of course, Saturday and Sunday with the National Senior Track and Field Championships. And I suppose for a lot of the top athletes, this is one of the competitions at the earmark at the start of the season. This is the big one for them.
Oh, absolutely. This is the big one. And, you know, there's no getting away from that. It's the National Senior Championships. And, you know, anybody that has any pride, regard for themselves in terms of what to achieve, this is the place to be. And it's very encouraging, Oisin, that there's as many as 25 Donegal senior athletes chasing, if not medals, certainly chasing performances. So I'm really, really pleased about that.
Yeah. Let's break it down, Patsy, and take a look at the athletes that will have serious medal hopes at the weekend. And no doubt in the 800 metres, Mark English is going for, is it a ninth national outdoor title this coming weekend? Obviously, one of the strong favourites. You would expect Mark to take another one this weekend, or is there anybody that can rattle a Finn Valley man, Patsy?
Oh, there is, yeah. There's a fellow called John Fitzsimons, and obviously we talked about him last year, but at the end of the day, Mark handled him extremely well, so we'll have to wait and see. Obviously, Mark has also entered in the 400 metres, and I wouldn't be surprised, and people should not be surprised should he, in fact, do the 400 metres rather than the 800 metres. But that's a decision he'd make in the next day or so. You know, he did warm up for the 800 metres at the Morton Games, but didn't compete. So let's wait and see with Mark this weekend.
Okay, where is he? Do you feel, Patsy, at this stage of the season? Obviously, last year was huge for him. Is he getting to par where he was, or where do you see him at the moment?
Well, you see, we won't have the answer to that until after the weekend, to be quite honest. This is the litmus test this weekend. And, you know, he started the season extremely, extremely well. Really good, big performances in one of that BMC meet in England. And then he had a few below par performances. So I keep coming back to it. You know, I have to keep saying that, you know, we'll have to wait for this weekend to see exactly where he's at. And he'll have to wait this weekend to see exactly where he's at, you know.
Yeah, where's Summer Leckie at, do you think, this weekend, Patsy? Can she defend this title she won last year in the high jump?
Well, she certainly has to be the favourite. You know, she again was out with injury for, you know, a long period of time, and you know she's been winning mode there, and she went 181 in Geneva and 175 there recently. You know, so that's, indications are good. So she's going to be in a battle to try and win the gold and win the Irish title once again. You know, she has a great record in that event for a young athlete. So we'll have to wait and see. But yes, indeed, she's going to be somebody we need to keep an eye on, most definitely.
Yeah, and Tyr Connell athlete too. Won titles last year, Patsy. Kelly McGrory again goes in the 400 metre hurdles, and Conall Mahon in the triple jump.
Yeah, well, Conall Mahon might get a medal. You know, he might get a second or third. You know, he certainly, I don't expect him to win it, but he got a bronze, I think, last year. But Kelly McGrory will be looking to win it again. She ran a great race last year. She's not in the same brilliant form this year, but she's running fast. She's performing well, and I do expect her to pop up at the weekend and really do well. So hopefully she can indeed defend her 400 metre hurdles title. So she's another one that you'd be looking to for a gold medal performance. Yes, indeed.
I was just looking at the entries, Patsy. John Kelly won the national championship last year. John's not listed in the entries, is that correct?
That's correct. John's not competing, but James and Gavin McLaughlin are, yeah. Two Finn Valley lads, and James, that's John's brother.
And can they medal, Patsy? Two guys medal for Finn
Valley?
Yes,
indeed. They can get second and third. On current form, they can get second and third behind a fellow Irish-American guy called Eric Favors. So, yes, indeed, they can get second and third. Favors has thrown over 20. They're short of that now. So, realistically, they can get second and third.
Okay. Brendan Boyce and Roisin Flanagan, medal contenders too, Patsy?
Roisin Flanagan can win the 5,000. She ran extremely well there in the States, and not in the States at all, in Europe when she came back that time, and now she's in good form for that fight. This is Roisin I'm talking about. Ailish, we have decided that she won't run because she's still rehabbing and trying to get back. Now she's nearly there, but the decision had to be made during the week, and I kind of said, no, you know what, Ailish, just hold back. Let's sit tight here, because she's been out with injury for so long. And, you know, it's very frustrating for an athlete at that level. But look, she's going to have to hang on for a bit longer. But certainly Roisin can most definitely think about winning the national title over 5,000 metres. And you talked about Brendan Boyce. Yes, Brendan Boyce can get a silver medal. All been well. David Kenny seems to have the better of him over the shorter distance. You know, I don't know. You know, we'll have to wait and see. But I would imagine certainly Brendan can get a medal, most definitely. Well, the colour of the medal is in question. But I think he can most definitely get the silver. Most definitely get the silver. After that, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, and obviously a lot of other athletes, Patsy, around 20 heading that direction. There's a couple of athletes in all the throw events. Could possibly make a charge as well, is there?
Well, there is indeed. Adrian Gall got a medal last year, you know, for Lifford Strabane, and she again should get a medal. She's been throwing well again. She's up on the same level as she was last year. You know, we know about her young sister in the last couple of weeks. She's been doing well. But Adrian certainly can get a medal, most definitely. She's a Donegal record holder in the hammer. And there's a girl called Lauren Callaghan from Finn Valley. She may get in there. She's injury issues at the minute, but she's been looking forward to this event, and she may get in there for a medal. She was second in the national indoor seniors, so she might indeed get in there for a medal. The long jump, and then there's another young fella in the triple jump, and he's doing PBs. He's really putting good distance in his jumps there recently, breaking records. Joseph Gillespie, he's a scholarship student at the ATU there from Finn Valley. So he on a good day maybe might sneak into a medal, but we'll have to. Conall Mahon would be the man to watch in the triple jump, and then let's see where Joseph ends up, you know. But there's a few others as well, you know. But and that young Ellie McCurdy, javelin thrower, she could get in in for a bronze, you know, in the javelin. That's another possibility. So, and Gareth Crawford, of course, from Liverstraman in the javelin, certainly good enough for a silver or bronze. And you know, so overall, there's a lot to keep the attention over the weekend, you know, from Donegal perspective, you know, and then there are many others, you know, just running for Nikita Burke's another one to keep an eye on. Yeah. Over 5,000 meters, you know, she'd pop up, she did last year, so let's see what kind of shape she's in this year.
Previously, Patsy, I remember doing previews with you and even wraps on a Sunday from a national championship, and there wasn't a lot to talk about, but what we talked about in the course over the last 7 or 8 minutes there's a lot of hope for Donegal. It's good to have it.
There is a lot of hope for Donegal at the moment with those couple of athletes flying the flag very strongly. So, you know, we're in good shape. We're in good shape. And as you rightly say, Oisin, there was years, you know, I came back down that road very frustrated, you know. So hopefully there'll be a good news story this weekend. And, you know, to add to big long list of medals for the underage athletes last weekend, you know. And we can move the story on from there.
Yeah, okay. Listen, Patsy, it's going to be a busy weekend. And, of course, you can follow all the action here in Highland. Patsy will be following the course of the championships on Saturday and Sunday. Have a good weekend, Patsy. Thanks for joining us.
All the best, Oisin.
There you go, Patsy McGonigal, Highland Radio's athletics correspondent, with a big week ahead for the National Track and Field Senior Championships at the Morton Stadium in Santry, with a lot of medal hopes. We're going for a quick commercial break. When we return, we're going to look ahead to the All-Ireland football final. It's the Dubs against Kerry. Michael McMullen will get his thoughts after these.
Be prepared for training and match day with kit and other essentials from all the top names at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Sponsors of Sport on Highland. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to the Score programme. It's bang on 36 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday evening. Time to talk Gaelic games, and time to welcome on to the programme from the Gaelic Life, Michael McMullen. Michael, a very good evening.
Thanks, Oisin. Always good to join the show. Thanks very much for the chat.
Yeah, good to have you on. Michael, listen, it's All-Ireland final weekend. We'll talk about the Dubs and Kerry in just a second. But you are, of course, a Derry man. It's a big week in Derry because the World Games of the GAA have been hosted in the Oakleaf County. Tomorrow, Friday, is going to be finals day, which takes place at Celtic Park in Derry. The first game is at 9:45 a.m. The last one, which will be the International Men's Decider, is at 20:40 tomorrow afternoon. Hopefully they'll get the weather for it at Celtic Park. But listen, around about 100 teams playing football, men and ladies, hurling and camogie. It's been a fantastic week in Derry with this event in there, Michael.
It has been. I was lucky enough to do a few preview pieces for the Gaelic Life on it, and to get chatting from people from all the other nations and hearing the buzz they had for it. And I was lucky enough to go up today to see the action. But even something like, for example, the Cambodia team that I was doing a feature on, like out of 26 of them, one of them had only ever been in Ireland before. And, you know, whenever they started to try and grow GAA among the locals in Cambodia, they had to make it free because just, you know, there wasn't the money for people to play sport. And for them to come to Owen Beg today was just an amazing story. And another one that I heard when I was there, like there was a team from Argentina who had no Irish connection whatsoever. And I think the gist of it was that they decided to, a group of boys, to start up a sports team, and they decided to pick GAA. And they were there today, but a massive colour, a massive organisation and culture, and it was great just to be there to see the passion they had. And like, obviously, Kerry and Dublin, a bit like the hurling final last weekend, are the showpiece games, but today was just excellent. And somebody actually described it as a week-long stag weekend where you can play football every day, so it sounded good.
Yeah, and that's a fantastic venue as well in Owen Beg to host this, because they have the pitches for it, they have all the facilities for it up there, Michael.
They do have. I think we're very, very fortunate in Derry to have Owen Beg and I suppose the men who had the foresight to get it in place. But it had, like, tomorrow, obviously, at Celtic Park wouldn't have the same range of facilities, but it's obviously finals and there's less teams. But today it was actually absolutely packed, very little car parking left. You know, food facilities. There was even a family area, like archery, where people could play, and there was just a real good feel about it, Oisin. And as you say, the facilities. You know, I think I was in pitch 7 today at a game. You know, and goalposts galore, and loads of officials, loads of helpers, and you know, if you're living abroad, you'd love to be a part of it. you'd love to be part of it even here at home for the crack. So brilliant, brilliant stuff.
Yeah, brilliant stuff indeed. Having the World Games here in the Northwest. And Derry doing an excellent job in hosting the event as well. But matters quickly moving on to Sunday, Michael. Dublin against Kerry, no doubt the best two sides in the country. But when you're back in the forward line of to win you in All-Ireland, out of these two teams, who's the best top six, Michael?
I think at the minute I'm probably going to go with Dublin. With Kerry obviously being All-Ireland champions, and they've got probably the best player that has ever played the game and might ever play the game in David Clifford. But I just think Dublin have maybe a wee bit more balance to themselves from the point of view that like a lot of the Kerry forwards were replaced the last day. But I think you have to give Derry credit for the way they played in that. But for me, and Oisin, I think I'm still sort of influenced a wee bit too by watching Dublin playing Mayo. And every time you look down at the fourth official's board when they're making a substitution, they're bringing on an All-Ireland medal winner. And, you know, that in itself, coming on for 20 minutes to go, made an unbelievable impact. But, it's a game. It's a game everybody has sort of predicted. I think, I suppose, that the Ulster person in me is probably would have wanted Derry and Monaghan, if I'm being honest, and probably sick to the teeth that it's not Derry. But come Sunday, I think Ireland will be buzzing for what's going to come. And, I suppose they've been the big two for so long, and they're the big two that everybody else has to catch. But come Sunday, it's Dublin with some lads chasing their ninth All-Ireland medal versus Kerry looking back-to-back. And I actually didn't realise this to today. Kerry has never had back-to-back All-Irelands under Jack O'Connor. So even wee things they got there are subplots that maybe bring an extra layer of motivation here and there. But should be a good one.
Yeah. Is it written on the stars for Cluxton?
It could be. I have to admit, when I heard he was coming back, I thought it was a backward step, and it was nothing against Stephen Cluxton. I don't know him personally or anything, but I just thought David O'Hanlon had come in there and he was excellent during the league. And even Derry manager Ciarán Mina at the time, they had did quite a bit of analysis on Dublin because they were playing them in that big game in Celtic Park, and they were very, very impressed by O'Hanlon. But then I suppose come Sunday, experience is the magic word, and he hasn't conceded a goal yet, but written in the stars, it could be, but you have to do it on the day. That's as simple as that. And I have a suspicion that it could be Dublin's day.
Right, okay. And even the fact that there's so many miles in the legs of these Dublin players, they've been down the road a long time. You mentioned some are going for a ninth All-Ireland medal there. As the years go on, you need a serious bit of hunger in the belly for it, so you do. But this is a younger Kerry team, Michael, and they could just be as hungry.
It definitely is. You're spot on there, Oisin. It is younger, and I suppose on the back of the unbelievable minor run that they had, that's the age profile that they're, I suppose, looking at. But a lot of those Dublin miles, they've had a few years away from the inter-county season, and they're, as Jack O'Connor actually said in his post-game interview after the Derry game, they're not back for the crack. They want to win in All-Ireland. And because they have such a deep panel, they don't play every minute of every game. And sometimes age is a very unfair thing to throw out. You look at maybe the way Ryan Giggs would have looked after himself and prolonged his career. And, for them boys to come back, the average inter-county player playing in a team environment like Dublin will be so well looked after in terms of medical treatment and physio and recovery and all those types of things. And they will have looked after themselves. And the motivation definitely has to be there. And that maybe carries you that wee bit more. But I don't know. I don't buy into that, the ageing thing too much. If you look at maybe what the likes of Conor McManus would have done there for Monaghan.
Well, listen, David Clifford, there's a lot of years left in Clifford and his legs. And listen, he's the showman when it comes to the big games. Kerry will obviously be relying on a big performance from their star man. And at times, maybe that suits the other players around him, Michael.
It does. And I think, unfortunately for everybody else, he's going to be about for ages because he's just awesome. I think there's that year. I think it was James Crombie took it of him from info with the leg extended the whole way up. I think it's his kicking style. Like Chrissy McKay got really close to him, but still couldn't get the block. If you go too close to him, he brings out the basketball dummy to dummy inside you. He's got quick feet. Last year's All Ireland final, Oisín, he was plucking marks. He's got everything that you could want for in a footballer. And I think, If you're in Dublin's meetings this week, I think it's not a case of snuffing out David Clifford. I think it's limiting David Clifford. And as you say, having to keep an eye on everybody else. And I suppose Derry were able to do that to a certain extent until Stephen O'Brien came on and found a bit of freedom, for want of a better word. And that was maybe the difference. But there, nobody like Mick Fitzsimons is one of those guys going for his ninth medal, and a lot of podcasts this week talking about him marking David Clifford, and you know it's just damage limitation really in that regard.
Yeah, because no matter what, Clifford's going to get you 4 or 5 points in a game, no matter what way he's playing. But just on the midfield battle, how key is that going to be, particularly in the early stages of the game, Michael?
I think it's going to be key, full stop. I was thinking about this actually when you said, you know, I was going to be on the show. I was thinking about this midfield battle, and like Kerry only really got to grips with it in the last 10 minutes, really, from their point of view, that really won the game. Stephen Cluxton and the variation that the outfield players give Dublin is immense, and that's where I think Dublin will hold a bit of the sway. I think that James McCarthy and Brian Fenton are an excellent partnership, but it seems to be that, and again, I haven't watched all the games down the years, the Dublin people seem to be, and Kerry people seem to be talking down the lines that Jack Barry seems to have been able to match Fenton, which is a big thing. So it's absolutely massive. I think it's Dublin maybe slightly shaded there. But you know, you're talking very fine margins here.
Yeah, if Kerry are going to win this and do a back to back for the first time under Jack O'Connor, Michael, what level of performance is it going to take? Because we've seen what happened at the hands of Mayo earlier on in the campaign, but then we've seen a different type Kerry team, particularly that day against Tyrone, where they just blew the Red Hands out of the match altogether, and that was maybe down to a poor level of performance from Tyrone. But if they are going to get over the line on Sunday, is it going to be the best of the year that Kerry's going to have to put onto the pitch if they're going to beat the Dubs?
I definitely think so. And like that Tyrone performance was pretty awesome in every way. When you think about where they came from, Oisín, that day that like Mayo basically stuffed them in Killarney. You know, only for Shane Ryan and David Clifford, there would have been a hammering session. So they're going to need something huge. They're going to need more out of their forward line. You know, it's an awful thing to say about Kerry. You know, they need something more out of their forward line. But, you know, they can't rely on Sean O'Shea and obviously David Clifford to carry the whole can. You know, they're going to need the Gavin Whites. They're going to need the Dermot O'Connors to be tagging on scores. They're going to need more out of Paddy Clifford, you know, Darragh Moynihan. The loss of Tony Brosnan, I think, you know, he was nearly an ever-present all during the league. You know, to have lost him is, you know, that's a loss for them in terms of personnel coming on. They need the massive game out of everybody. But, you know, maybe the fact that people are talking up Dublin, that's bound to take a reaction out of Kerry as well. But they're going to need a performance, especially from their attack that we maybe haven't seen since the Clare game in the Munster final.
Okay then. So going by the way you're talking, Michael, you're going for a dub 1 on Sunday.
I am, and just marginally, and I just probably on the strength and depth of the panel, Oisín would be something that would be swaying it. The midfield element with, you know, James McCarthy, I just think is playing. You know, probably him and Brendan Rodgers are the two best midfielders in the country at the moment, and James McCarthy's absolutely class, and probably just going to give them the edge.
Yeah. Just you mentioned Brendan Rodgers. How many Derry players do you think are in contention for All-Stars this year, Michael?
I think Brendan Rodgers, Shane McGuigan, Gareth McInnes and Conor McCluskey, they would be very, very much in contention. You know, the goalkeeper spots maybe between Shane Ryan and Oran Lynch, possibly. You know, Cluxon could have a big final, you know, maybe would have been saying that. But I think you're probably talking the first four I mentioned, Oshie, yeah. You know, and then, you know, you're obviously throwing the likes of Conor McCarthy and Carlo Conlon in the middle of that as well. Darragh Canavan from an Ulster point of view.
Yeah, okay. Right, Michael, as always, thanks for joining us on The Score, and enjoy the All-Ireland final on Sunday.
Thanks, Oisín.
There you go, Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life for the All-Ireland preview, and of course talking about that fantastic event, the GAA World Games, which have been hosted in Derry this week as well. Just a note on some other Gaelic Games fixtures here locally, Donegal All-County League. There's a number of playoffs taking place on Saturday. Double header at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. The Division 1-2 playoff, Glenfinn will play Buncrana. 1 o'clock is the start. The winner will play in Division 1 next year. And the Division 2-3 playoff is at the O'Donnell Park as well at 3, with Burt up against Steve Padraig Muff. The winner there will be playing in Division 2. The final run of group games in the Senior Hurling Championship in Donegal is taking place tomorrow night. The four scheduled fixtures are Dunloe against Carndonagh, Aireagh Ballyshannon play Burt, St Eunan's take on Buncrana, and McCool's will play Setanta. The semi-finals will be played the following week, and the final of the championship's penciled in for the 12th of August. Just back to soccer, and looking at Dundalk, who are in action in the Europa Conference League, currently trailing Akurai by 3-1 now is the latest there. They did go 1-0 down. Daniel Kelly got an equaliser on the half-hour mark, but then a brace of goals in the space of 7 minutes by Hawkson has given the home side the advantage as Dundalk trail by 3-1, and it's not a good night for Shamrock Rovers. They're into injury time at the end of their game, and they trail by 4-0 against Ferencváros. We'll check in to see how Derry City are faring out in the opening minutes of their game, taking on Coops. Currently, it is 0-0 in that tie, and it's about 4 or 5 minutes old at this stage. Linfield have started as well against Pognan at home in Belfast at Windsor Park. No early goals to report there as well. And one other fixture of note this weekend, it starts tomorrow and runs through until Saturday. Eglinton Cricket Club is the venue, and it's the final of the North West Senior Cup as Brigade take on New Buildings. They'll be hoping for good weather and hoping for a cracking decider, as one of the big trophies in the cricket world in the North West is up for grabs this coming weekend. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the programme, you will be able to recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Thanks to Jordan McDade, who produced tonight's programme. Jimmy is on the way after the news at 8 o'clock, and our next sport here in Highland is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news with Chris Ashmore. So what's left of your Thursday, enjoy it, have a good one, have a very good evening.